Support for Utah News at 5:30 on Utah Public Radio is made possible in part by our listeners and by the Herald Journal of Logan, serving readers with print, online, and mobile offerings. Information at hjnews.com. The Herald Journal, empowering the community.
Federal officials say they arrested 54 immigrants in Utah convicted of serious crimes as a part of a six-day nationwide sweep. Also, Oregon police say the parents of a one-year-old boy who drowned in a washing machine will likely not face charges. And which county has the worst drivers? We'll let you know coming up on the 5:30 Utah News.
Today is Monday, April 2nd, and it's All Things Considered. I'm Shalane Smith-Needham.
And I'm Tom Williams. This is your 5:30 Utah News.
Federal officials say they arrested 54 immigrants in Utah convicted of serious crimes and fugitives as part of a six-day nationwide sweep that resulted in 3,100 total arrests. Officials at U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement say Monday 36 arrests were made in Salt Lake City. Another 18 people were arrested elsewhere in Utah. Authorities say the sweep included every state and involved more than 1,900 officers and agents. More than 1,000 of the people arrested nationally had multiple criminal convictions. The most severe cases included murder, manslaughter, drug trafficking, and sexual crimes against minors. This week comes nearly a year after ICE pledged to focus on deporting illegal immigrants with serious criminal histories and those who pose national security threats, while going easier on many who stay out of trouble.
A 29-year-old man has been sentenced to 15 years to life in prison in the killing of a woman whose body was found stuffed under a Salt Lake City motel bed. Thomas Kumulak was given the maximum sentence today after pleading guilty to murder earlier this year. Police found the body of 25-year-old Jessica Jensen at the Capitol Motel in Salt Lake City in May after a patron complained about an odor in the room. And Oregon police say the parents of a one-year-old boy who drowned in a washing machine will likely not face charges. The boy's family recently moved to Hillsboro, Oregon from Orem. Police say the death of 21-month-old Ollie Hebb appears accidental. The Deseret News reports the boy had died after a day on life support. His organs were donated. Tiffany and Chris Hebb buried 21-year-old Ollie Hebb over the weekend in Orem City Cemetery. Tiffany Hebb says her son would help her with the laundry by throwing clothes into the top-loading washer. She said Ollie Hebb went missing for a few minutes on March 23rd. She found him wedged inside the water-filled machine. A neighbor did perform CPR, but the boy died after a day of life support. Tiffany Hebb says she's warning parents about the drowning dangers of washers.
A Utah man has lost a 17-year legal fight over his murder conviction, although he still has options for postponing his execution date. The Utah Attorney General announced Monday that Ralph Leroy Menzies recently lost his claim that he had ineffective lawyers. Authorities say Menzies kidnapped Maureen Hunsaker from her gas station job February 23, 1986. They say he drove her to a picnic area in Big Cottonwood Canyon, tied her to a tree, strangled her, and slit her throat. He was convicted by a jury and sentenced to death in 1988. The Utah Supreme Court affirmed the conviction and sentence in 1994 and denied a review of the case in 1995. Menzies' claim was denied March 23rd. The case heads to the Utah Supreme Court for the fourth time.
Despite efforts on the part of educators and law enforcement to educate minor students on the dangers and implications of sexting, incidents continue. The latest is in Cedar City. Chris Holmes reports from Southern Utah.
A female student at a Cedar City middle school was persuaded by two male students at a local high school to send a nude photo of herself by mobile phone. Unfortunately, she did so, and the incident has resulted in arrests and an ongoing investigation into whether there might be other students involved. Conrad Aiken, principal at Canyon View Middle School, wants students and parents to know that sexting is both unwise and illegal.
We have invited an individual down from the Attorney General's office to come and speak to our students to help them better understand the laws as it relates to these kinds of things.
The presentation to school students by the Attorney General's office is scheduled for Monday, April 9th. Chris Holmes, UPR News, Cedar City.
Help is on the way for hopeful Utah homeowners. This morning, Governor Gary Herbert joined officials from the Utah Housing Corporation to announce new mortgage assistance to help residents afford home ownership and stimulate the housing market recovery. KCPW's Jessica Gale reports on who qualifies for the program.
Joy Wicks and her husband aren't strangers to owning a home. After losing money on their previous homes, she says they're excited to learn about a new program that will help them get back into one they can afford.
It's just a struggle to come up with the down payment, not so much to make the monthly mortgage payments, but just having that savings or that money from homes that we may have lost money on.
Utahns who find themselves in Wicks' shoes, along with those hoping to own a home for the first time, may soon be able to find relief thanks to two new programs developed by the Utah Housing Coalition. President Grant Whitaker explains how it works.
An example would be a current owner who wants to move up but doesn't have the equity, or a previous homeowner who sold their home and doesn't have required savings. This program will have a $320,000 maximum purchase price. It'll offer second mortgages up to 6% of the first mortgage amount.
The second program is called SCORE. It will offer assistance to buyers with credit scores as low as 620, even if they have owned a home before. Whitaker says this is 40 points lower than the usual amount seen in past years.
Here's an example of who could qualify for that. It would be a young couple seeking to purchase their first home, but they haven't yet built up their credit. Or a previous homeowner, maybe they went through a short sale a few years ago. They're back on their feet, they've got good employment, but their credit score is not quite where they need to be.
Salt Lake Chamber Chief Economist Natalie Gochner addressed the benefit the programs will bring to the state's overall economy.
In a state where unemployment was as high as 108,000 people, we're down to 76,000 unemployed. We are well on our way to complete recovery. But the final link is for housing to come along and to get construction workers back on the job sites and to make it so that there's income and quality of life for Utahns.
The Utah Housing Corporation is an independent public corporation that doesn't use tax dollars. The Home Again and SCORE loan programs begin next week. From KCPW News in Salt Lake City, I'm Jessica Gale for Utah Public Radio.
Have you ever wondered where the worst drivers are in Utah? The Utah Department of Public Safety has released a study that ranks Duchesne County at the top of the list, followed closely by Salt Lake and Weber counties. Research analyst Gary Maurer says the report, based on 2010 data, ranks counties based on categories like the rate of crashes and the rate of seatbelt use for those involved in crashes. He says Duchesne ranked high in just about every category except for crashes involving bicyclists and pedestrians.
Fatal crashes, total number of crashes per mile traveled, the percent of people in crashes that were not restrained. They had a high number of drunk driving crashes and high number of speed crashes and motorcycle crashes.
He adds, although Duchesne lays claim to the worst drivers in the state, it would be wrong to assume someone who's driving poorly is a resident of that county.
What we did is we looked at where the crash occurred, and so the crashes in Duchesne County, they may involve or may not involve people from Duchesne County. That's where the crash happened.
Paiute County boasts the best drivers in Utah, followed by Millard and Box Elder. Maurer says if drivers would decrease their speed and increase their following distance, there would be fewer crashes statewide.
Now we turn to weather, and we turn to meteorologist Dr. Robert Davies from the Utah Climate Center. What's that?
Good evening, Tom.
Good evening. There you go. I got to get your microphone on. What can we expect?
Got a bit of a roller coaster after the weekend, and it continues. We're going to have some warming for the next couple of days across the state. Not quite as warm as we were on Saturday, though. And then the next Pacific system spooling up off to the west, going to be moving in Wednesday night and Thursday, mainly impacting the northern half of the state. Going to be breezy everywhere else for the next several days.
Well, we'll look forward to the full forecast coming up in 10 minutes from Robert Davies from the Utah Climate Center. And for the 5:30 Utah News, I'm Tom Williams.
And I'm Shalane Smith-Needham. Thanks for joining us.